Ken McAlpine has always lived near the beach. His home now is in Ventura, California. McAlpine also loves the seashore when it sizzles in the summer and ices over in the winter. A few years ago, he decided to travel up the Atlantic coastline from the Florida Keys to Maine. His adventure stories have just been published in a new book, Off-Season, Discovering America on Winter's Shore. And Ken McAlpine joins us from NPR West. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Leanne. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. This is an obvious question. Why did you begin in the South and go north? I mean, to follow the cold?
I actually did that for the sole purpose. I wanted to come to these small coastal communities when they were themselves, and I figured no place would be more like itself than Maine in February and March. So I sort of planned on really traveling into the teeth of winter rather than doing what I suppose a lot of people do, which is flee winter. And that turned out to be a wonderful decision, not only for the sense of community in these places, but also for the sheer stark beauty of the coast in winter.
In visiting all of these coastal towns and meeting up with essentially year-round workers, were most of the people you met somehow involved in fishing and, watercrafts, boats, ferries?
They actually, I mean, every job had some sort of connection to the water, but they weren't all fishermen by any stretch. I spent some time with a really terrific fellow named George Baker on St. Simon's Island, Georgia, who made his living as a blackwater diver. And George's job was to basically rescue, and more often than not, it was too late for rescue, recover things from the swamp, everything from false teeth to bodies. So people did what they had to exist in these areas that they love, and a lot of them actually been probably pushed out of, or some of them have been pushed out of fishing because that's become a very difficult way to make a living. And then some of them were eighth generation fishermen on Tangier Island, which is a lovely island in the Chesapeake Bay. I spent some time with the marine policeman there, Tim Marshall, and that's an island that still makes its living the way it has for years and years and years.
Being a marine policeman is not an easy job. I mean, he's somebody that knows all of the boats and who owns them and what they're doing with them, and he's the one that has to enforce all these regulations, particularly environmental regulations in contemporary times, certainly. And that's
right.
Hard. Didn't he have to actually, did he bust his brother?
You know, of all the characters that I ran into, Leanne, I think Tim was the one that I admired the most. And that's saying a lot because I really came to admire a lot of these people for all sorts of reasons. But yeah, Tim was a marine policeman, and he had been for 18 years. And his job was basically to police the Chesapeake Bay and Tangier Sound. He's basically policing his cousins, his uncles, even his brothers. And what he did basically made him subtly or overtly ostracized in this community. There's a little, it's called the Double Six. It's sort of the social hub for the fishermen. It's a little more than this shack on Tangier, and it's called the Double Six because sometimes they play dominoes there. But mostly they come there early in the morning to get their grilled cheese sandwiches and hang out and have coffee, and then in the evening, same thing. Tim can't go in there, or he won't go in there. When he passes by on his bicycle, nobody really drives cars on Tangiers. A lot of the fishermen, I was told, turn their backs on him. Yet he has hove to what he believes and enforced the law. But yet he bends the law as best he can to help the fishermen. He told me a really interesting story where he was actually arresting one guy, and the other guy's friend took Tim's bike and threw it in the marsh. Well, Tim took the first gentleman to the mainland to take him to jail. Basically, he came back and he told the other guy, he said, listen, I want a new bicycle by tomorrow. And the guy got him a new bike by tomorrow, and Tim told me, well, listen, it just worked fine. I needed a new bike, and if I'd taken him to prison, it would have cost court time. He would have had to pay a big fine. So it was sort of like almost Andy Griffith kind of thing. He did everything he could to make life as easy as possible for the fishermen on that island. Yet he said, you don't want to back. If you take a step back, then you might as well throw your badge away. And he paid the price for that.
In these places, what's the relationship between, say, the tourists and the natives? And is there a developing relationship between those now who would like to live there and build there, and at the expense of perhaps these long stretches of beach?
That was something I ran into a great deal, Leanne, in my travels. These people obviously love the places that they lived in, and I made a concerted attempt to find the places that were small and off the beaten path. Of course, no place is off the beaten path these days, really, and these places are being quote-unquote discovered. I'm not sure the exact statistic, but I think roughly 60% of America lives on the coast now, and I think a lot of people feel like you and I do, a real strong connection to the water. So obviously there's huge pressure for development. Almost without exception, everybody I spent time with was fighting to preserve the place that they lived in against terrific odds. And really it boils down to a simple thing. I mean, I was on St. Simon's Island with George Baker, and that island, it's still pretty, but there's a lot of planned development there, golf courses and that sort of thing. It's not the place it was when George Baker moved there in the 50s. And he said to me, it's really hard when you're making $20,000 a year and somebody comes and offers you $2 million for your land.
What's the last place you stopped, and what time of year was it?
You know, I actually went all the way to Lebec, Maine. There's a little lighthouse there that looks out towards Canada. And I found, as the trip went on, Leanne, it was really interesting. In the beginning of the trip, I just was totally engrossed with the people. And I'm a real people person. I really enjoy people. But as time went on, I found I became like winter. And I think I say that in the book. I mean, I looked for solitude. I wanted to be alone. There was a real joy in spending time alone. And there's no better opportunity for solitude than the beach in winter. The very end of the trip, I actually went to this lighthouse and I looked out over towards Canada, and it was really a kind of a bittersweet moment because I knew I was just going to turn the van west and step on the gas, but it was also a time to just realize what a wonderful experience that I'd had, the incredible people I'd met, and it just reinstilled in me, and I know this sounds trite, but that the world is a good place.
Ken McAlpine is a travel writer. His latest adventures are collected in a book called Off Season, Discovering America on Winter's Shore. He joined us from NPR West. Thanks a lot, Ken.
Thank you, Leanne.